The Gospel of Luke, the 8th chapter. And as we ponder this parable, the verse we want to consider this night with the help of the Lord is that verse 12. There in verse 12 of Luke chapter 8, we read, "Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the words out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved." Here we have the wayside hearer. The Lord Jesus, of course, is the one who knows what is in the heart of man. There's no one knows the heart of man better than the Lord Himself. He knows what is the spiritual condition of man's heart. And He knows how best to describe that condition. And this He does in the parable of the sower. The sower has gone out and sowed his seed. And according to the story that the Savior told, the seed fell on four different types of ground. This ground representing hearts of individuals. Spiritual condition. Four different types of hearts. First, we're told it fell by the wayside. Then the seed fell upon a rock. So a man's heart, the Lord says, is like the wayside. Others, and their heart is like a rock. Then the Lord Jesus said, some of the seed fell among thorns. And finally, others fell on good ground. And here the Lord likens the heart of man to four types of soil. And the Lord told His disciples that some men's hearts are like the well-trodden wayside. Others like the rock, and others like that soil that has thistles and briars, and this represents the riches and the pleasures of this world. And when the word is sown, then those thistles grow up and choke the word, and it doesn't bear any fruit. Some men's hearts have been plowed and broken up and ready to receive the good seed of the word. When the seed is sown, then it takes root and it bears much fruit, even 100-fold. So there you have the types of soil, or the types of man's heart. You have the testing of the soil. We see that according to the parable. We see how the heart of man was tested. It was through the sowing of the seed. When the seed was sown, the Lord Jesus said, some fell by the wayside. And they that hear, them cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. And the Lord said, whenever the sower goes out and he sows the seed, it falls by the wayside. What is the wayside? It may be difficult for us to fully appreciate what is meant by the wayside. The Lord said in telling the parable that it was well trodden. The wayside was a path that was well trodden. And a wayside could easily run through the middle of a field. The fields, so we can call them that, and in Bible times, and even today, they're not fenced off or hedged off or walled off, they're just open. And if someone wanted to avoid going by the way of a town or a village, they would go by a wayside. They would maybe walk through the middle of a field. And of course, you and I know when one man takes that path and others hear about it, then many will take that path until that pathway becomes hard and well trodden. But whenever the sower goes out to sow, he sows the seed across the whole field, including this path that may run either along the side of the field or right through the middle of it. And so some of the seed falls by the wayside. It falls in this hard, well-trodden heart, or part of the field. And it's like the seed falling upon the heart that's well-trodden, that has plenty of traffic in it. Like the wayside where many travelers, man's heart, as many travelers that go through the heart, worldly pleasures, vices of this world. And so whenever the seed falls upon the wayside that just lies there, it's trodden down, and the birds of the air come and gather it up and devour it. It's the best way of testing the condition of someone's heart, and that's their reaction to the Word of God. That will tell you the condition of that individual's heart. And here we find that in these four types of soil, we find out the condition of man's heart. Some hearts are like the wayside. Others as hard as rock. Others covered in thistles of thorns and pleasure and riches. And then there is the good ground upon which the seed falls. But we can test the condition of our hearts by our response, by our reaction to the Word of God. That will tell us, just as it is here in this parable. So the Lord Jesus said, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and fowls of the air came and devoured it. Then the Lord gave the interpretation there in our text. We've already explained what the wayside is. Now we find that the fowls of the air come. Fowls of the air represent the devil, Satan. When the seed falls on the hard, well-trodden ground, then the devil comes and takes away that seed, and it is of no profit to the hearer. And it is this particular ground that we want to look at tonight, this heart that we want to consider tonight. And I wonder, is there anyone here whose heart is like the wayside? It's easy for the devil to steal away the word, so that it is of no profit to us. As we consider this verse 12, and those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. The devil comes and takes away the seed. Notice first of all the punctuality of the devil. Notice how punctual the devil is. What does it say? Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil. Whenever the seed of the Word of God is being sown, it's just them that the devil comes to take away the seed, even as the word is being preached. The devil is punctual in his business. Oh, we cannot see the prince of the power of the air, but this alone would indicate to us that much is happening when the word is preached. There's a lot of things happening when God's word is proclaimed. The devil's busy. The fires of the air are hovering over us. A lot of things taking place. We know from this parable then, we know that the devil is present wherever God's word is preached. Oh, we know he's not present in the apostate churches. We know that he's not there. He's nothing to worry about. The man doesn't preach the word. He doesn't sow the seed. But wherever the word of God is preached, you can be sure the devil will be there to steal the seed, because he doesn't want people to believe and be saved. Then cometh the devil. Or Mark records it another way. Luke says, then cometh the devil. Mark records it, Satan cometh immediately. There's the punctuality of the devil. While others may loiter and linger when it comes to the hearing of the word of God, the devil never does. Here we have the adverse, the adversary. Peter spoke about your adversary, the devil. The devil, most definitely tonight, is our adversary. In this parable, Matthew records the Lord as calling him the wicked one. It's interesting. Matthew calls him the wicked one. Mark calls him Satan. Luke calls him the devil. It's all to do with the same parable. And if you look at the adversary, and these three titles that the Lord has given to him, something we may glean from each of the titles given to the devil in relation to this parable. The wicked one. That word means, or those words mean, bad, malignant, miserable. Bad, malignant, miserable. So wherever he brings his influence to bear, men are full of badness and they're miserable. The devil's crowd are miserable. The people of this world are miserable. That's why they seek the pleasure crazes of this world. Because we know that the pleasures of sin, they only last for a season, and off they go again to Vanity Fair to find what else they might find there to give them some kind of happiness. The devil, the wicked one, has his children miserable. And all kinds of badness he puts into their hearts and into their minds and into their hands. And because of him, there is that awful disease that has affected the very blood that runs through the veins of man. Man's a sinner. Man's bound for a lost eternity, and that's where the devil wants to keep him. Because that's why he steals the seed, lest they believe and be saved. That's the dirty business that the devil is about. That's why he is so ready to take away the word that we hear. Because he doesn't want men to believe and be saved. And whether the word is preached to saints or sinners, the devil is about the same business. He doesn't want us to give time to the word. He doesn't want us to meditate on the word. He doesn't want us to think about the word. He's like the fires of the air. Once the seed is sown, they'll come and eat up the seed. And that's why we need to pray. that whenever the word is sown, whenever the word is preached, we need to pray, Lord, hide thy word in my heart. Hide it beyond the reach of the evil one, because the devil will steal it away. The preaching will not profit us at all. We need to hear the word. We need to meditate upon it. We need to think about it. And the devil doesn't want that. So Matthew, he's called the wicked one. And Mark, the adversary, is called Satan. Mark 4, verse 15. Satan, what does that name mean? It means accuser. It means hater. He is the accuser of the brethren, and he is a hater of the word. Mark uses that name to describe the evil one, the wicked one, in his telling of the parable. And the parable, of course, is about the sowing of the word. And Satan, his name means hater, is the one who hates the word. We read in Luke chapter 22 and verse 3 that Satan entered into Judas Iscariot. Satan put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray the Lord Jesus. Satan hated the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus is the Word. He is the Word incarnate. And Satan wanted to see the incarnate word destroyed. And he put it into the heart of Judas to do that. And dear hearer, tonight Satan hates the word. He hates the word you're hearing now. And he doesn't want men and women to believe and be saved. That's why he hates the word. Because he knows that the word of God changes lives. It makes believers out of infidels. It makes saints out of drunkards. It can make preachers out of gamblers. And that's why he hates the word, because the word of God robs his kingdom of souls. He has no answer to the word of God. The best that he can do is steal it out of the hearts of men. Satan hates the truth of the word of God. And our first parents found that out to their cost, and ours also. Because the first action of Satan upon earth, what was it? It was against the word of God. And said to our first parents, yea, hath God said. Put that doubt in their minds regarding the truth and the authority of God's word. Yea, hath God said. Satan hates the word. You can be sure, as we've already said, wherever the word of God is preached, then the devil will be at that meeting. He's at the meeting. Do you see, believer? Do you see the importance of praying for the meeting? Do you see the importance in praying for the preacher? Because the devil's at the meeting. And the devil is there to steal away the word of God. He hates it. Why he hates the word? Because the word of God can change lives. Now, as we see from Luke's record of the parable, the adversary is given the name of the devil. He's the wicked one, he's Satan, he's the devil. The devil means accuser or slanderer. What an awful business. Business of slander. Oh, the devil's the master slanderer. And when it comes to the preaching of the word, of God. He's at that business of slandering. He slanders God. He slanders the Word. The sinner sits there and he's hearing the Word, and the preacher's preaching his heart out, and he's exhorting sinners to trust Jesus Christ. And in the ear of the sinner, he can hear the whisperings of the devil. And he slanders the Word. Don't believe the Bible. Oh, you can't believe the Bible. Sure, it's not true. Sure, it's full of contradictions. That's what he's saying. He's a slanderer. No, you can't believe the preacher. You can't believe God. He's a slanderer. That's the business he's about, this adversary. And he'll tell the sinner anything to keep them from believing and being saved. That's his goal. That's his end. And so you can see the great conflict, the great war, the great battle that rages every time the gospel is preached. The devil, the prince of the power of the air, the wicked one, Satan, the hater of the gospel. His goal is to keep men from believing and being saved. And to do that, he must steal away the seed. The preacher, on the other hand, is preaching the Word, and his desire is to see men saved and believe the truth. The adversary. Next we see his alertness. One night when Paul was preaching, a man in the congregation fell asleep. There was a great crowd in that room. There was hardly any room for people to sit, and so they had to sit in the windows of the building. And Paul the preacher preached for some time, for so long that this man fell asleep, and then he tipped over and fell to the ground, and everybody thought he was dead. Eutychus may have fallen asleep at that meeting, but I know this: there was one person at that meeting who didn't fall asleep, and that was the devil. The devil never falls asleep where the Word of God is faithfully preached. You can be sure that the devil never sleeps in a meeting where the Bible is opened and the book is preached. He's alert. He's always alert. He's alert because it tells us that those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil. Or as Mark says, Satan cometh immediately. Now to do that, he must be alert. To steal away the seed as it is being sown in the hearts of men, the devil must be alert. And so he is. He cannot afford to allow the Word to lie too long in the heart of man. The Word of God lies in the heart of man. Then man starts to think about what he has heard. And the Word of God will produce faith. Man will believe and be saved. And the devil can't afford to allow that to happen. Satan cometh immediately. Immediately. That's how prompt he is. No sooner does a camel fall dead in the wilderness than the vultures appear. No sooner do you throw bread out in some open space, and before you know it, the sky is covered in seagulls. They seem to appear from nowhere. The fowls of the air appear, and they just seem to be from nowhere. The Lord uses this in this parable. The fowls of the air come and they steal away the words, the good seed of the gospel. That's what the devil is after. No sooner has the sower sown the word or the seed, and the fowls of the air come. No sooner has the preacher preached the word, than the devil comes. The devil comes. The hater of the word appears to steal the word away from hearts. That's the business that he's at. Believer, when it comes to the preaching of the word, yea, at all times we need to pray against the devil. Next we have his appearance. Look at the words of our Lord in his telling of the parable in verse 5. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Fowls of the air. It's no coincidence, of course. No mistake. The Lord Jesus spoke about the fowls of the air. No mistake that he spoke of the actions of the devil like the fowls of the air. And as the seed of God's word is being sown, devil's son sends out his evil spirits. He can't be everywhere. He's not omnipresent. And so where he cannot be, he'll send out his evil spirits. He'll send out his demons and his devils, and they'll come like the fowls of the air, steal away the word. And how quickly do these fowls devour the seed? He'll use anything. He'll use anything to steal away the seed. In the meeting, there's a stillness, and the preacher's emphasizing some point, and suddenly drops a hymn book, makes a great clatter, and immediately the hearer is turned off from the word and wonders, who dropped the hymn book? Wonder who did that? And that's like a fowl of the air coming and stealing away the seed. Once again, maybe just like tonight, it's overcast, and suddenly there's a clap of thunder, and the people forget about the word. It's being preached, and their attention is not on the word now. On the thunder and the lightning and the downpour of rain, and they're wondering, what will it be like when we get out of the meeting? Just then, it's like a fowl of the air, just comes and takes away the word. I was preached a youth mission, gospel mission one time for young people. It was in Dr. Paisley's old church on the Ravenhill Road. It was a Wednesday night meeting. Dr. Paisley's old church has wooden floors, and there's a gallery runs three quarters of the way round the building. Church that night was well filled. Gallery was well filled with people. One of those meetings, there was a stillness. And I was about three quarters way through the message. You're just bringing it to that point where you want to really apply the gospel. And suddenly up in the gallery, there was this almighty commotion. I learned afterwards that a dear soul had had an epileptic turn. And with the wooden floor, it made a terrible noise. Well, I might as well have closed the meeting just right there, because nobody was listening. You could see it. They're all looking up at the gallery, and those in the gallery were looking at this dear brother. It wasn't his fault. Just then, fowls of the air descended and stole away the seat. The word that had been preached. That's how the devil operates. If he can get our attention on anything else but the word, he'll do it. Because he hates the word. And he doesn't want you and me to hear it. And he doesn't want you and me to give any attention to it. And he doesn't want you and me to listen and to meditate and think about the word. It's his business. He's punctual. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil. They've just heard it, then cometh the devil. He's punctual. And you have also there the devil and his power. He is the Lord Jesus speaking. And the Lord Jesus is speaking about the... You know, we can live in denial and deny that the devil has power. We'd be a fool if we did that. The devil has power. Why? He carries off countless thousands into a lost eternity every day by his power. The Lord Jesus here tells his disciples, those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts. There's his power. The Lord Jesus didn't say, then cometh the devil and attempts to take away the word. No, he says he does it. There's his power. He's able to do it. He's able to take away the word. He cannot afford to allow the word to stay in the heart, because the hearer might believe and be saved. You notice something there. The devil's not interested in what enters the hearer's head. Because a head knowledge of the truth is not going to save anyone. There are souls in hell tonight, and they had a head knowledge of the word. They never had a heart knowledge. The heart that the devil's interested in. When the word gets into the heart, that's what concerns the devil. And I'll show you the reason why. Turn please to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. Paul says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. When the word gets into the heart, what does Paul say? That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart. Paul here is concerned about getting the word into the heart. It is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, yea, even in thy heart. And if it's in thy heart, then thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And that's what the devil is working against. He doesn't want the word to stay in the heart. Because if it's in the heart, Then man will consider the Word. He'll think about the Word. And it's a living Word, remember. And the Word will bring him to conviction and bring him to conversion. And he'll believe and be saved. And that's not what the devil wants. But he has power to take the Word out of the heart. The Lord says that. How does he do it? Consider his subtlety. Remember what the Lord said about the devil, about Satan, the old serpent. Genesis 3 verse 1, the serpent is more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. More subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And let me suggest to you one or two ways the devil employs his subtlety to keep sinners from thinking about the Word and from getting saved. I have no doubt that he has succeeded in taking away the seed of the gospel from men's hearts by telling them, one, you don't need to believe the Word, you don't need to think about salvation because you've got plenty of time. That's one way. That's one way that he employs to keep sinners from giving any time or attention to the Word of God. You have plenty of time. You don't need to get saved, you've got plenty of time. You don't need to give any attention to the Word of God. This matter of salvation shouldn't concern you now because you've got plenty of time. Well, the Lord Jesus told another parable about a man who thought he had plenty of time. A very successful businessman, a successful farmer, and he had filled all his barns with grain, and he looked out and there were still some fields to be harvested. And he says, this is what I will do. This is what I'll do. I'll pull down my barn, I'll build greater, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Eat, drink, and be merry. Suddenly, the words were hardly out of his mouth when God said, thou fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. This night. He talked about many years. He thought he had plenty of time. And there are those who believe the lie of the devil. They also think they have plenty of time, and as they think they have plenty of time, Satan comes, scoops up the seed, takes the seed of the gospel out of the heart. Doesn't lie there too long. And that man who thought he had plenty of time, why? His eyes didn't even behold the sunrise of another day. Tell you another way the devil employs his subtlety. Not only by telling people of plenty of time, but by telling them, wait until tomorrow. Just another day. Or maybe just another week. Wait until next week. And so they're going to wait until next week. And there's no point thinking about the Word today. If I'm going to wait until tomorrow, why think about the Word today? and the devil comes and takes away the seed, takes away the word out of the heart by subtlety and craft. The devil has enlisted an army of gospel hearers, and he marches them off to the caverns of the damned. An army of gospel hearers. They have heard the word. Wonder how many there are in hell tonight who have heard the word. But the devil succeeded in taking that word out of their hearts, lest they believe and be saved. Subtlety. And consider how simple it is for the devil to take the seed away. It's simple. What did the Lord say? He said the fowls of the air devour the seed. It's no great task for a little sparrow to come and start devouring the seed that you've just sown. It's most simple. There's nothing complicated about it. And the Lord Jesus says the devil comes like the fowls of the air, and he takes away the gospel, and he does it so simply. He doesn't have to work too hard at it. And I'll tell you why he doesn't have to work too hard at it. Because the heart of unconverted and sinful man doesn't want to hear anything about sin and about the judgment and about heaven and about hell. And so he has an advantage already. He already has an advantage. Because those that hear the word, why, they're children of the devil to start with. They're children of disobedience. The devil knows that the heart of man is sinful and desperately wicked, so he has already got an advantage. A man can sit in a gospel service, say, I don't want to hear this, because he hasn't got a heart for the word. He doesn't want to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't want to hear about his atoning death, because he hasn't got a heart for that. So the devil already has an advantage, and that's why it's so simple. Because the hearer maybe already has his ear shut to the word. So the devil is able to steal away the seed without any resistance or protest on the part of the hearer. Then his power can be seen in his success. Desperate, isn't it? We have to admit that. Desperate, we have to admit the devil with regard to this matter is successful. The Lord tells us that. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. He taketh away the word out of their hearts. He's successful. It is all so true that many gospel hearers arrive at the end of life's journey only to pass into a Christless eternity. Gospel hearers. Gospel hearers. There are many who've worn the seat in a gospel preaching church, but they've been lost because the devil has been successful in stealing away the seed. And it is true that some whom the preacher has seen in his congregation, he'll not see them in heaven, because the devil has been successful in stealing away the word. Sad, isn't it? But it's true. And finally, you have the devil and his purpose. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. That's his purpose. That's his plan. Take away the seed of the word, lest they should believe and be saved. This is something the devil recognizes. You know, you look at these words spoken by the Lord Jesus, and you can see that the devil is a sound theologian. Never think of the devil being a sound theologian, but he is. I venture to say there are some ministers occupying pulpits tonight, and they don't believe what the devil believes. Because the devil believes that if a man hears the word, there's ever a possibility he'll believe it and he'll get saved. That's what the devil believes. That's what he recognizes. He recognizes the truth. He knows that there's power in the word. He knows there's power in the gospel. And he knows that men and women who hear the gospel get saved. That's what he knows, and he recognizes that. And so he employs his demons and his devils to steal away the seed of the gospel. To be alert, to be quick to respond to the preaching of the word. Get that seed out of that man's heart, lest he believes and is saved. The devil knows that. And the reason, lest they should believe and be saved. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest, there's the same word, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine in their hearts. Lest. He'll do anything he can to keep men in their sin. He blinds them. He robs them of the gospel. Takes the gospel out of their hearts. And he damns them. And the result, lest they should believe and be saved. And if he gets the word out of their hearts, they'll not believe and they'll not be saved, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And dear Christian, tonight, this surely shows us, if nothing else, the need to pray for the preacher and the preaching of the word. Because there's a great battle raging, and it's a battle between truth and error, light and darkness, heaven and hell. And we need to pray that God the Holy Spirit will move God, the Holy Spirit must move, because we have no might and strength and power or ability against the devil. He'll beat us every time. He'll steal away the seed every time. We need to pray for a moving of God, that he might bind the strong man. Only he can bind him. That he will scatter the fowls of the air. He'll scatter them. That's what Abraham had to do. He had to scatter the fowls away from the sacrifice. We need to pray that the Lord will scatter the fowls of the air. He'll scatter the devils. He'll scatter the demons. He'll defeat the devil. He'll give us the victory. And he'll save souls. We need to pray to that end. If we don't believe her, we're beat. And the devil will succeed every time. The devil will be successful every time. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O our God and gracious Father, we do bless thee for the word of God. It's a living word. It's a powerful word. We ask, O Lord, that thou will help us to preach this word and to keep on preaching it. Help us, Lord, to scatter the good seed of the gospel. And, O God, we pray tonight that thou would bind the devil. We pray, Lord, thou will scatter the fowls of the air. For, Lord, we have no might or power against them. What strength, Lord, what power have we against the armies of hell? O God, we need thee to work. We're asking, Lord, for thee to work. So, Lord, come. Come, Lord, and defeat the devil here in this town. Lord, look upon this town tonight. Look at how the devil has sinners bound and fettered, chained. Lord, he's leading them off to hell. Lord, we have no might against them. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are toward thee. Lord, send us revival. Send us a great victory over the devil. Be with us now, dear Lord. Bless the word to our hearts. Keep thy hand upon us, Lord, for good. Go with us as we make our way home. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.